Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Now, we're kind of picking up a little bit where we left off last week with Therese Davey, home and lifestyle style tips, because we got cut off halfway, if you can imagine. Therese, you're very welcome back to the show.
Good morning. I was singing along beautifully to that.
Was, yes, that's such a good tune. So listen, one of the things I never got to last week, you dropped this in when you were passing over the last weekend. I'm a light traveller. It's a really clever little thing. It goes around your wrist.
It's like a skin-tight, light little purse with a zip on it, available in Tiger for €2. And every time someone sees it on my wrist, I end up giving it away.
Yeah, it's very clever, isn't it? Because, you know, I was just saying, you know, myself and Victoria were just talking about here, and look, when you want to go out for a walk, or you want to go, and you don't necessarily want a big clunky, you know, wallet or purse or even bag with you. You can actually put pretty much everything you need into this little thing. It's kind of cool. It goes around your wrist, and you can, you know, a bit of cash or a card or whatever could go in there.
And it's dead handy for me at the toll bridge on a Saturday, the £2.90 in my purse. When you're going away in a hotel and you just want to carry the key card with you, you're going down to the pool or something, dead handy.
Like, you know, I know what you mean about the toll bridge, because there's nothing worse if you're heading towards the toll. You're on one of those big motorways and you're heading from one place to another, and you haven't spoken. You're on your own in the car, and you haven't spoken to anybody for like at least an hour and a half, and suddenly you go scrambling for small cash. You can have it already there. Brilliant. Love it.
Absolutely, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Everyone should get one. €2 in Tiger, and buy three when you have it. No more than picky-uppy, grabby things.
To give
buy
to
three.
Everyone who asks you what it is. Yeah. Exactly. So listen, we're looking at the winter calendar of events. So talk to me about that.
Well, the first thing people should be... Have you ever tried a night class, Ronan?
I have. You know what? I never have. And, you know, I often think about doing one. Tell me.
Well, www.nightcourses.com is where you'll find all the night classes and evening classes around the country. Pick your county, pick your subject, but you may need to hurry. Some of them have started already, but it's a great chance to do. I see my local one in Knocklyon. They have Italian cookery, salsa dancing, dietary classes, wood carving. The whole lot is there, floral arranging. So there's loads of things you can be doing that are different. And you can just give them 6 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever it is, and just try it out. If you're not committing to doing an exam or anything like that, something light. And the one I would ask people to consider seriously is a first aid course.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Absolutely. Yeah, we should all have that, shouldn't we?
Everyone. My dad thought it should be compulsory in secondary school.
Absolutely.
So we were sent off to the Order of Malta aged 12.
Yeah.
And I remember coming on my first car accident aged 15, and I knew what to do.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, and you know what? Because you do, everyone goes into freeze when they come across this stuff. And it's
absolutely.
Like, and you know what? If there's even just one or two things and you can save someone's life like that, just simple, you know, common sense stuff, that's really brilliant. You know, another thing I was going to say, and I often recommend this to my own clients, is a night course can be a very, very good way of, you know, just creating a little bit of a wider social group for yourself. You can meet a few people that you're interested in the same things as yourself, and it can be quite a, particularly if you've come into an area for the first time and you're a little bit, you know, disconnected, it can really connect you in.
A small numbers.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
In the evening, no stress. People, you know, in their own spare time, so there is no stress. So you can talk at the door on the way out and
absolutely.
Things like that. You know, you're so right. Wonderful idea. Consider it if you haven't thought about it, anyone. Nightcourses.com.
Very good. Nightcourses.com is and that's definitely a thing to do. So what are the jobs of the week when you get to kind of the third or fourth week of September?
Get your chimney cleaned.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Before the rush starts.
Yeah.
Some people do their own, but please be very careful up there on the roof. It's very messy and it's very slippery up there.
We're cleaning the chimney ourselves, are we? God,
well, some people do their own. We have a cousin who does ours. But if you're going to do that, you need to be very, very careful. You need secure ladders and all kinds of things. It's one of the jobs I'd say maybe pay to get done. But book it now, because there's a rush. There will be a rush.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm renowned by my children for not being particularly sure-footed. ankle toes, I think is the referred.
Stay so, off so the roof, Ronan.
The notion of putting myself on the roof, I'm bad enough on the flat ground. So
I'm having a vision. Moving on, have you got your oil tank topped up before the prices go up?
Yeah, I actually have, but it's a very good point. Actually, I only got it done there about a week and a half ago, really. And you can actually see, you're dead right, a lot of oil tankers out there on the road doing exactly what you're saying, because it could get kind of funky actually with what's going on in Saudi Arabia.
It will get expensive, but yeah, everyone will be doing it and there will be a rush. Likewise with your coal and your blocks, get them in before it gets dark and don't be tripping over things at the side of the house in the dark, because the evenings are drawing in, aren't they, Ronan?
Yes, well, yeah, exactly, yeah, you're dead right. And you know what, it's not really that cold yet, so people start to think, maybe I can push it out, but you know, it, particularly when it comes to the oil. And remember too, interesting things happening with coal, I think. Now this is just, you know, this is just my own theory, but I have this feeling that what's going on is the people who normally get in loads and loads and loads of coal from Poland and the various places that they get it from, that they've actually not been getting in quite so much because they're expecting there to be some sort of a hike, you know, because of the carbon stuff. There's going to be they're expecting there to be a carbon tax. So what they're doing is they're not buying. So the last two loads of coal I've gotten, and this is, it's very good coal, but there's a lot of slack in it, which you would never have gotten. And I think that's because they're actually like, they're emptying out the bottom of whatever they have. And I think, you know, I just have a feeling that there's something going on there, and we're maybe expecting something in the budget or something. I'm not sure what, but anyway, there you go.
Yeah, it is forecast it's going to be an increase on fuel. The carbon tax will go up on coal and fuel.
Yeah.
And so you're probably doing an economic survey there.
Exactly.
Now of your own. But it's good. But likewise, as it is getting dark, and there may be jobs that you've been putting off around the house that needs to be done, and get out there and do it this week before it gets too wet and too dark. The small last paint jobs, or cleaning the gutters, or putting the rolled wire in the gutter to stop the leaves gathering in your gutter. Maybe the small jobs, drains that maybe need to be cleaned. Do it now. When you get a dry day this week, don't put it off anymore. And deals have a great thing. These are great things.
Okay.
$1.50. They're like giant hands. And you stick your hands into them and you can gather leaves and rubbish and debris around the garden in them. And they're only $1.50.
Brilliant.
Now, if you're not near a deals, go and find an election poster and split it into two or three sections. It does the exact same job. Or one of those kind of posters you see on the side of the road that advertising a festival.
Exactly. Or circuses or something. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
They're
very
great.
Good.
I'm going to do a slot someday on the 10 uses of how to recycle an election poster. I have great ideas on that one.
Very good. So, housework. Don't keep up, don't catch up. Tell me about
that. You like that?
Yeah, I like it. It's pithy. What does it mean?
It means get going with the daily routine of wee jobs. Quick jobs you can start and finish. Don't let them pile up till the weekend when you're tired and you want to do other things and need to go out and get some green therapy. Do the small jobs, keep up with them, and then you don't have to play catch up at the weekend. And even the modern websites say the exact same thing. Stagger jobs over the week. Do the toilets on the Monday or do something else, put two washes in midweek, not the weekend instead. But don't forget to delegate. Get help on this one. Delegate to everyone else that they have weekly jobs or daily jobs as well. Share it out. But I just liked it. Keep up, don't catch up. Yeah,
very good.
I like
now,
it.
You've told me something that I never, ever knew, that if parsley is washed with hot water, it retains its flavour. I never knew that.
And is easier to chop, seemingly.
Oh.
I'm going to try this one.
Okay.
Yeah. I assume because the water draws out oil. A parsley has an oil in it.
I'd say
the water's drawing out the oil flavour,
yeah,
and making it easier to chop, the exact same thing. That's
very
what I'm
good.
Assuming it's about. And I thought it was a useful hint. I found this in my Victorian household hints book when I was looking up Downton last week.
Smell a boiled ham. Tell me about that.
Yeah, you put vinegar you put the bay leaf in with the ham,
yes,
or the bacon, and that stops the smell, or a bit of vinegar, or likewise with the cabbage, a bit of vinegar into the cabbage stops the smell permeating the whole place because it can be smelly.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you not get a smell of vinegar then? No.
No.
Okay, well,
you
that's
don't.
Pretty good.
No, it counteracts it.
Ah,
absolutely
great.
Counteracts it.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Do I like the one about the lemons?
Keep going.
Heat the lemons for a few seconds in the microwave and you get twice as much juice out of them.
Wow, that's very good. And is that to do with the oil thing again? No, it isn't. It's to do with loosening something, probably,
isn't
it?
Yes, yeah, it's absolutely this. It's loosening the pits and the skin so that when you squeeze them, it's easier to get juice out.
And actually, you know, I've actually heard that before because I've done it myself. When the bread is baking, a little dish of water in the oven, and that's how French bread is made, isn't it? They always have a bit, they have a little thing that releases steam into the oven at the same time.
Making kind of bracts or Halloween bracts that do get hard.
Yeah.
Do you know? And absolutely. It's a really useful one. It's one used for Christmas cakes for years. But I didn't realise you could use it in bread, and they never showed us that in college. And it sounds really, really good, and it's useful. And it's just a small dish at the end, a flat dish, whatever kind of bowl or tin, enamel tin you have. It doesn't have to be a bowl or something.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's a small dish.
This is your area because you are in, you're one of those very, very capable, and I'm sure what I know, but even talking to you, but the whole area of home economics and that kind of thing. So it's like there's a lot of areas in there that we deal with there, and I'm always very grateful for the bits and pieces that you give. You've got we've a natural whitener. Please tell me that it doesn't involve vinegar.
No, just the other third favourite ingredient in my life, lemons.
Oh, lemons. I was going to say, it's lemons, vinegar, and bicarbonate of soda. That's basically it. You could live on those three things, I think. You know?
Well, possibly, and if you're on desert island, sure, you're set up for the rest of your life.
So tell me about it.
But lemons are great at making things white. Your skin, if you know, dark patches, or if you've got stains on your skin or on your elbows.
Wow.
Things like in your hair during the summer, makes your hair lighter. And we've done sessions entirely on lemons. They're just wonder things that they are. But this was something, using it as a whitener, if something goes off colour, laundry or linens or something, squeeze after you've warmed it up into a gallon of hot water, soak your white things in the lemon juice and hot water for one or 2 hours, and then rinse them, but hang them out in the sun to dry, because there's the other whitener out there. It's a very natural way of doing it without buying packets of whitener or chemicals or anything. It's very natural.
Just lemon juice and sunlight. Well, that's amazing. Now, you've a couple of other ways of getting rid of stains involving some very interesting things. Tell me about them.
This is a wine or fruit, and the old argument always was to use cold water for stains, because boiled hot water sets it or cooks it.
Okay.
But lately I've been reading, and the second time in a week, using boiling water on a stain.
Okay.
Stretching the blouse or whatever it is that's got stained over a bowl and directly pouring boiling water through the stain until it's gone.
Wow. That's definitely worth a try. That's definitely worth a try, yeah.
And rust.
So I was going to say, now, when you say, if it's boiling, is that it's so hot it couldn't set it? Is that what you mean?
That's obviously what they're saying, that the heat and the steam and everything is pushing the stain out. There's obviously some kind of combination thing going on, and it's kind of steaming the stain out.
Very good.
But the water is running through until it's gone. And it's actually on the internet. You can go into the internet and see the lady actually do it.
Okay.
With the kettle. And it's new. Something I'd never heard about
until recently.
Yeah. And so I would like to give it a try.
Great.
It's on YouTube.
Tell me about rust.
Yeah, rust is a dirty stain when you get it on clothes. You're brushing up against something in the garden. And they're saying use stewed rhubarb.
Wow. That's wild. Stewed rhubarb, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Very acidic. Can you see the acid thing going on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I've seen rhubarb being used to clean saucepans and get stuff, burnt things off the bottom of a saucepan, boil a bit of rhubarb in it. That worked. Obviously, there's something really strong in rhubarb, something acidic-y, that gets through stains and rust, and it's brilliant.
And finally, mildew.
That's a dirty stain, an awful thing that gets... You pull something out and there's something ruined and you get such a shock and you liked the garment or whatever it was. Buttermilk.
Wow. Gosh.
Buttermilk. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I wouldn't even know what that's about, would you?
Acid again, I'd say. It's the exact same thing.
Okay.
Acidy buttermilk. We use buttermilk for marinating chickens or turkeys at Christmas because it breaks it down.
Yeah.
It makes it tender. So there's obviously something intense and strong in buttermilk. No, some scientist is going to call in now, Ronan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, absolutely. 087-888-9292. All you scientists out there, explain to me what's going on with that buttermilk taking mildew out. That's really amazing, though. It's really, really helpful. So basically, lemon for white, wine or fruit, use boiling boiling water. Rust, use stewed rhubarb. And mildew, use buttermilk. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Trace, thanks a million for joining us today. We'll talk to you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Every person is unique, which naturally means every child is unique. This, of course, means that for parents, each parenting experience is unique too. And let's face it, parenting isn't always easy. Parents can be faced with various parenting challenges as their child grows from a baby to a toddler and right up through adolescent years. This week marks National Parents Week with the theme, It's Okay to Ask for Help. On the line now to tell us more, we have Rita O'Reilly from Parentline. You are very welcome to the show, Rita. How are you?
Thank you, Ron, and all good. Thanks.
First of all, Rita, what is Parentline and what support does it offer?
Parentline is a helpline for parents. It's somewhere for parents to call and ask any parenting questions, look for support, look for guidance, offload stress, right from very new babies all the way up to adult children, if that's the right term.
Sure.
And everything in between. So it's the simple, or what, I mean, we say the word simple, but what seems, you know, you might call simple, if I'm in the middle of it, it's not that simple at all. So if you, no matter what the question is, never, it's nothing too trivial to ask us about, and right up to the very severe stuff. And so it gives the parent an opportunity to talk to someone who's trained, a trained listener, in confidence and without judgment, and to explore what's going on for them and hopefully find a solution.
I have to say, I knew Parentline had been around for quite some time, but I was surprised it was over 30 years.
Yeah, it's there a long, long time. See, the thing is, parents use it, and then the kids grow up, and they
need it.
They don't need it anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's true.
Absolutely.
They're grandparents. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and this is National Parents Week. This is starting today and going through to the end of the week.
Yeah, and the whole purpose of National Parents Week is to make parents aware of Parentline and of the support that's there for them, and that it's okay to ask for help. You know, we can't. I think parents assume they should know what to do.
Absolutely.
But God, how would you know? There's so many things go on for a parent. And if you had 10 children, they'd be 10 completely different people. And if you have one child, that's just a big issue for you as well. So all of those things. And the thing about children is, obviously, they grow up. So every stage, you've got your terrible twos, you've got your teenagers, you've got all those things that go on through a child's life. And at every point, they sort of present their own pleasures, but also their own difficulties. And maybe child number one was a divil and caused issues and caused problems at two, and then you've got a grand teenager.
Yeah.
And then you've got child number two or three, you know, wants to go out late, bullies or is being bullied. You know, so at every stage in their life, they present their own issues.
And you never feel like you've got it sorted, because what worked on one child doesn't necessarily work on the next one and all the rest.
There's no such thing as having it sorted. I mean, there's different challenges in that every day.
Do you know, it's really funny, you know, I always think of it as, this is kind of like a little metaphor in my own head. Both our children are adopted, and they kind of arrived in, you know, at kind of, you know, several months, you know, so it wasn't like we weren't growing from kind of, you know, a tiny little baby in the tummy to kind of, we literally came straight in the door, whammo, you know, and I'm the eldest of seven. So I kind of had done all the nappy changing and all that stuff even as a kid, but a very weird thing happened when I suddenly went, how do I pull on a pair of kind of, you know, like a bottoms, like kind of a pair of trousers onto a child that's kind of pre-walking. And it was funny, only that I had this person with me said, put the child in front of you and pull them on as though you're pulling them onto yourself.
Yeah.
And it was the simplest piece of thing, but I always think of that as a metaphor for how, you know, even the most mundane, stupid things you can do with help.
Well, it's probably the first time you ever did it. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
How do I approach this? You know, and once you've done it, then you probably
never thought of it about it again. Exactly, it's common sense, but as you say, not obvious necessarily. Yeah.
And also, parents' expectations of themselves are very high. You know, they think, oh God, I've got to do this, I've got to do it right. But, you know, why? You know, be good enough. That's all.
Yeah,
you know,
good enough.
If the trousers had gone on backwards, it wasn't going to be the end of the world for anybody, you know?
Yeah, so the theme, it's okay to ask for help, kind of falls into that, doesn't it, that area?
It does, yeah. Whatever help, I mean, Parentline is the national helpline for postnatal depression, as well as being the helpline for parents. So what I mean by that is, right from the time the baby's brand new, we will support the parent up until whenever, whenever, you know, once a parent, always a parent. So we might get somebody ringing with adult children, you know, maybe even their 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
They still got issues, you know.
How old is the child? The child's 52. It's driving me mad.
It's a frightening thought to say to a parent of a new baby, oh my God, this is going to go right. But things like grandparents have issues, you know, and they ring up.
Yeah, absolutely. So Google is fantastic and it can offer quick answers to our questions, but it doesn't give the personal advice or the time to kind of chat with those who are willing to listen and help, can it?
No, it doesn't. It's very sort of one-dimensional, and there's a little bit, I mean, we find a huge amount of parents that ring us. The problem that they ring us about is actually not the problem. You know, so they ring up and say, oh, my son or daughter is such and such a thing. And then, you know, say, well, did anything happen in the last while? Oh, yes, this happened and this happened. And you realise that by exploring it, there's way more going on, or something that happened last year is actually what's causing the issue here.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you Google and say, oh, that's the issue, well, that's the answer you get.
Yeah.
You know, and it won't go any further than that. And you don't hear tone. And you don't hear support, and the little tips here and there. And, you know, the other thing about Parentline is you can ring as often as you like. You know, if this issue is not sorted out today, you might say, well, it's evolved a little bit and I want to try this. And the other thing parents often do with Parentline is if they've got to go and see the school about bullying or something, they make a phone call to Parentline and say, look, I'm thinking this is what's going on for my child. This is what I was thinking of saying in the school. And it's almost a practice run for whatever issue is going on. You know, if they might want to confront even a partner about something, you know, their approach to parenting is different to mine, what do you think here, and we explore it and, you know, come to a conclusion. Or indeed approach a child and say, look, I want to talk to my child about this.
Yeah.
What language?
What? How would I approach it? Yeah. What language, as you say? It doesn't surprise me at all to see that 87% of your callers are female and 13% are male. But you know, there's still 13% male, which is great. You know, it's a start.
13, and that is creeping up year on year.
Is it?
It's very slowly. Like it took us 30 odd years to get to 13%.
Yeah, sure.
It is nonetheless. It's creeping up bit by bit.
And again, that idea of guys, and you know, speaking as one, you know, and I would be very very involved in my children's parenting. But you kind of feel like sometimes at the other end of a line that somebody will be going, well, where's the mother? Why am I talking to her? You know what I mean?
Well,
you kind of feel like
I have to say that wouldn't be our approach.
I'm sure it isn't. Yeah,
it's still more females, more women parents.
Absolutely,
you know? And like there always has to be a mother around. Fathers. Doesn't always, you know.
Yeah, no, and that's unfortunately true, but I take your point. But what are the common challenges and kind of topics that you see parents reach out for help and advice
about? Currently, the most common one is anger and aggression.
Okay.
And that's something that it's kind of creeping up. Like I say, about 7 years ago, we didn't count that at all.
Yeah.
But that's definitely increasing. And when I say anger and aggression, it doesn't mean these kids are all beating up their parents. It goes from controlling to being angry to roaring and shouting, right up to physical violence. So it's the whole lot. And Parentline have a program called Nonviolent Resistance Program to help parents deal with that. It's slightly different. I mean, all of the other things we do is a phone call and the parent hangs up and then they can ring back the next time they want to.
Yeah.
But in the Nonviolent Resistance Program, we have it sort of goes on for maybe 6-7 weeks, and it's a very specific lay-down program that starts with de-escalate. If somebody's roaring and shouting or being that violent with you, walk away.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me because, you know, I know that the therapy rooms of the country are full of kids with massive anxiety in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's suddenly happened. And I always think that, you know, anger is often what comes on top of fear. You know, it's like people can get angry when they're afraid, and that's it doesn't
you don't know
surprise
what's
me.
Going on for them. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
If we think about it, a parent will have many and various parenting challenges from the time their child is a newborn until they start college. But I'm really interested that you don't just stop at the college stage and that you go all the way, as far as it takes, really, you know?
As far as it takes, yeah.
Yeah.
I've said before that the woman that founded Parentline tells the story that on the first year that very early on she spoke to an 80-year-old woman about her 60-odd-year-old son.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and it's parenting is parenting. Yeah, it's just amazing.
Exactly.
And I was thinking too... We were talking about earlier on, if someone's a lone parent, right? So you have a woman on her own with her kids, or you have a guy on his own and he's, you know, either he's widowed or he's lone parenting, he's doing whatever he's doing. And, you know, that those people would be very aware of being unsupported. I imagine that the parent line could be a great support to those.
Anybody, you know, the statistics reflect the national statistics in terms of parenting alone or together.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, even if you're in a couple situation,
yeah,
it can be isolating. You know,
sure.
You can sort of feel maybe a partner's out at work all day, say a new mother, partner out at work all day, and they're there, isolated, you know, maybe finding it hard to drag themselves in to get dressed or organize, you know, keep the house right and keep the
child
fed and watered. And it's very overwhelming. Mm. And sometimes it can be very isolated. So it's no harm if the baby goes to sleep and you feel like that. Pick up the phone and talk to somebody. It's another adult to talk to.
Very much so. It's a terrific, terrific resource for people. So the helpline is open Monday to Thursday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it is free and no appointment is necessary. So could you give us the numbers while I have you there, Risa?
The number is 1-890-927-277. And then there's a regular seven-digit number as well, 01-8733-500.
Okay, and do you have a way of contacting you through the website as well?
Yeah, we have parentline.ie and the numbers are on the website.
Brilliant.
Or Facebook or whatever.
Parentline.ie.
So, please do ring. And if there's no issue that's too small, you know, we would never say, we don't consider that one worth ringing about.
Very good.
If you feel the need to ring, it's worth ringing about.
Brilliant. Risa O'Reilly from Parentline, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. God bless you.
Thanks. You, Ronan.
Bye-bye. It's a while to Christmas, but around the supermarkets we are already seeing chocolate selection boxes and even some Christmas decorations for sale. But there is one very important thing for us to be doing in the coming weeks, and that is putting together a shoebox for a little boy or girl through the Team Hope Christmas Shoebox Appeal. On the line now to tell us more about the shoebox appeal, we have Carol Hennessy from Team Hope. You're very welcome to the show. Carol, how are you?
I'm great, Ronan. Thanks very much for having us on.
Brilliant. So first of all, Carol, remind us what the Christmas Shoebox Appeal is and how last year's appeal went.
Oh, well, the Christmas Shoebox Appeal is very simple. It's all about bringing joy and smiles to children who would never get a Christmas present or have any hope of ever getting a birthday present. It's they go to children in Eastern Europe and Africa, and these children could live in orphanages, they could be in hospitals, they could be in living on the depths of just, you know, rubbish dumps. It's heartbreaking to see them.
Yeah.
But these shoeboxes, they bring such joy and hope, and it gives the children wonderful dignity, and just for them to know that somebody far away in Ireland is thinking about them and cares for them means the world to them.
And they really are. It's an incredible thing to arrive in at Christmas time, because there's usually quite a mix of things in this. There's things that are useful, there's things that are kind of gifty and kind of like a present or a toy, and there's a real mix in the shoebox, isn't there?
It's a huge mix. I mean, last year we collected 259,079 shoeboxes.
Isn't that amazing?
Which it was amazing, and every one of those is different, Ronan.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's because it's been prepared by. I know you give a bit of guidance, as in have something that is
exactly
useful.
We have a leaflet, a shoebox leaflet, and it's got all the information as on our website, teamhope.ie. But we have the four W's, which is something to wash with. Face flannel, toothbrush, toothpaste. You can imagine your children getting a toothbrush at Christmas, they'd look at you. So something to wash with, something to wear, hat, gloves, scarf, underwear, pair of socks, something to write with. School supplies are so important for these children. They are thrilled to get a copybook and colouring pencils, pens. It means they can go to school.
Yeah.
A copybook is like a passport to kids in Eastern Europe and Africa.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then something that'll make them go, wow. So it could be a toy doll, it could be sweets, it could be a car, a yo-yo, a tennis ball, a mouth organ, you know, just so many things.
Wonderful. And you know, I'm looking here at the Team Hope website and seeing actually a very clever idea that each town actually there's a place that stuff goes from. I'm looking here through, get down through it. Like for instance, from Athlone, you had 2,456 boxes. They went to Malawi and Romania. Ballinrobe went to Albania. Bandon went to Kosovo. Funcrana goes to Belarus and Romania. It's wonderful because they can literally go, oh, this, you know, it really helps people. It captures the imagination when you think, I know where my box is going.
It does. And, you know, that's what I love, the name Team Hope, is our teamwork. And we couldn't do this without our wonderful team of volunteers around the country. You know, from Donegal down to Kerry, from Ballinrobe over to Wexford, from Westport to Dublin, there are teams of volunteers. And we are always looking for more volunteers. And it's wonderful because people can see, get involved in their local community, come along and get the shoeboxes. And then, you know, they're just dispatched to Eastern Europe and Africa. And this year we've a wonderful ambassador who's going to be doing incredible teamwork and inspiring us to do incredible teamwork, Ronan.
Yeah.
And it's Elena Tice from the Irish World.
Yeah, Elena, yeah. I know her well. Yeah, absolutely, yes.
A lovely girl. She did our photo shoot last week, and you know, she's just a role model for teamwork and getting people motivated and encouraging people to work together, you know, whether it's families, businesses, churches, youth groups. Everyone can be involved in the Christmas shoebox appeal.
So Lena is getting out and she's like an ambassador for you guys, and she's trying to encourage people to get going on this. Is that
exactly,
the idea?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Because it's really, you know, that for me is the shoeboxes is so important. People in all parts, every community can come together, whether they're in Athlone or wherever. It doesn't matter. This is a box of love. And for me, it's wonderful that people that might never meet each other during the year, they're suddenly in this place. And as a volunteer said to us down in Galway at the weekend, you know, this is a happy project and we all need happiness and love in our lives.
For sure, for sure. You kind of mentioned it earlier on, but what is it like for the child, you know, whether they be somewhere in Africa or they be somewhere in Central Eastern Europe, wherever, what does it mean for that child to receive these boxes?
Oh, Ronan, it's just so wonderful. I wish everybody could see it. There's a video on our website, teamhope.ie, and that shows it. But I have the privilege of bringing volunteers out with me, local volunteers, so that they can go back and tell the people about the children who get their shoeboxes, and just the joy and the excitement when they open their box. You know, sometimes they'll hand it back to you, they don't realise it's actually all for them.
For them, yeah.
And then
yeah.
Sometimes they'll open everything out. I remember one little boy in an orphanage in Belarus last year. He was so happy to get his shoebox. Nikolai was about 10 years old, and he took everything out of his box, and then, you know, the toothbrush, the toothpaste, the sweets, the hat, the gloves, the copybook, and then he found a box with a toy car in it, and it was a red sports car. So he took that out, opened the doors, opened the under the bonnet, opened the boot, everything worked, put it back in the box, took it out again.
Yeah.
He was just so thrilled. And, you know, for some of the children we meet, they say, "This, how did you know? How did God know that this was exactly what I wanted?" You know, little girls are hoping to get a doll, and suddenly they have a doll. I remember being in Ukraine one year, and we visited a home, and it was mum and dad and their little four-year-old girl who had special needs, and she was sitting on her daddy's knee, and she sang a song for us, and she told us that she was hoping and praying that she would get a doll in her box.
Yeah.
And we had a box with us, and it had been every shoebox has to be checked by our volunteers in the checking centre, and then it is taped. And so we handed her the taped shoebox, and we were praying that God, let there be a doll. When she opened it, there was a doll in her shoebox, and it was a rag doll. So when you turn it upside down, there was a second doll. You know, she got two for the price of one. And it came from Kildare, and I just thought, wow, you know, God always knows, you know, the kid who needs that toothbrush, the kid who wants those school supplies. One little guy we met in Congo, actually a friend of mine, she's a volunteer up in Belfast, and she was working with this doctor, and he said, you know, I got a shoebox when I was in Congo, and he said, I saw people giving them out, and I prayed that I would get school supplies and pens and paper so that I could keep going to school. And he did. And now he's a doctor in Belfast. There are
so many stories,
you know.
Wow.
It's just wonderful.
That's wonderful. Really encouraging, Carol. Tell us how people can get involved. What items?
You know, there's the four W's.
Yes.
There's something to wash, wear, write, and wow.
Yeah.
And we have promotional leaflets, which is available. There's loads of information and stories and the video, all of it on our website, www.teamhope.com. www.ie, or you can give us a call here in the office. It's 01 294 0222. We'd love to hear from you, because you know we are hoping to send our 2 millionth shoebox from Ireland this
Amazing.
Year. Team Hope is hoping to do this.
Wonderful.
And we need, like as Elena said, we need the whole team involved. We need everyone from little boys and girls going to play school to people in churches, businesses, families, individuals. It's a big team effort, and together we can do it.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful idea. I think many, many people give very generously to charities, but it's very seldom that you can put something together yourself and knowing that's the end product. That's going directly to somebody, and it's such a powerful thing to get involved in. So the closing date for shoeboxes this year?
The closing date is the 8th of November, and we will, and our drop-off points will be up later, but deals are involved,
yeah.
And AXA First Stop and Toy Master, and there'll be local shops as well in the community. People can get flat pack shoeboxes, and they can order those. They can get those in deals from the middle of October.
Brilliant.
So it's brilliant, you know, and it's just great to get everyone involved, because it really is so special. We work all the year round with these children, providing healthcare education, doing summer camp. You know, it's just wonderful to be able to bring children joy and hope when they're thinking nobody cares, nobody knows about me.
I can imagine there's people all over the country now listening in going, must remember to do it. The 8th of November is the cut-off date, and I'm going to ask you to give the phone number again.
Yes, sure. It's Dublin, and it's 01-294-0222.
Right. 294-0222. So 01-294-0222. Carol Hennessy from Team Hope, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
It's a pleasure, Ronan. God thank bless. You so much for
Absolutely.
Having us on.
And www.teamhope.ie is the website.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.